Said when we can meet.
Not going to be this morning. She's out doing it again. So the answer is no.
There has to be a meeting before you go because we have a corporate resolution that has to be passed.
Okay. We'll make sure that happens.
Romans 5. Let's review starting in verse 12 again. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You know, we read those words and we don't hear it. Death passed, past tense, upon all men. Does anybody believe that? What part of it don't you understand?
Well, that's what you can't describe. You know, I believe it's true, but I don't rock it, let's say.
You have to come to one conclusion if this statement is true. That there is, as Revelation says, there is somebody or something that has been raised from the dead, from the deadly head wound. Anybody accept that? Let's go to Revelation 13. It's almost like these are the kind of moments in which there's no sense in studying anything else. Because unless this is heard and seen and understood, then everything else will only contribute to idolatry. Anybody have any response to that? Death passed to all men.
Well, I don't have a response to that. Well, I guess it is. It's a thought that came up in me when you started talking, when you asked, does anybody believe this? And it's this. We get into Bible study and we start talking and studying and asking questions and who believes this. And suddenly I'm thinking. And I'm looking at the scripture and I'm reading and I'm going, do I believe this? Don't I believe? I mean, who? It's like, that's the evil one. It's like Bible study revives the evil one.
No.
Who is it that's listening and thinking and considering
Bible study,
and deciding whether I do or don't believe this?
Bible study reveals the evil one. This is a conundrum. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I am crucified. Crucified means dead. Look at.
That's interesting because of the conundrum, you can't figure it out. You can't make it work in this system that doesn't have a chip to process that information. So you have one choice: is to abandon.
When why do I do what I do then? Why do I challenge you?
Why do we do what? I mean, why do we do? I know that. that we should be doing what we're doing, but right now the thing in my mind is, it's like the law came and sin revived or whatever it is. It's like Bible study starts and I turn my eyes on myself. And it seems like the purpose is to turn to do that and to be found lacking.
The purpose of the preaching of the cross is to reveal the power of God, if you believe Corinthians. The preaching of the cross to them that perished is foolishness, but unto them which are saved it is the power of God. So what does the preaching of the cross do? And how does that reveal the power of God? The power of God can only be revealed in your emptiness, your weakness, your nothingness. So the purpose of Bible study is to find out, again, if there's anything that has taken you off the mercy seat, which will be revealed in your response to what is taught. But if the predicate is that you're coming to Bible study to learn something, then the only thing you will learn is more idolatry. The anointing that you have received, you have need of no man to teach you. For he is revealed, or he is the fullness of all things. So how can I possibly teach you anything?
Yeah, teaching is just a stripping away of those things that don't reveal.
Let's look at this being, this instead of Christ. John is at the Isle of Patmos and he's standing on the seashore. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and instead of seeing his own reflection, he saw something else. The eyes of his understanding were open. He saw the same thing that Jacob saw when the angel wouldn't let him go until Jacob told him his name. He saw the same thing that Abel saw. He saw the same thing that Abraham saw. But now he is describing it for all time. Can everybody just accept that premise? So he's standing on the shore of the sea. And instead of seeing a reflection of his image, he sees a beast. Can you imagine what that would have been like? You better, because you have to see the same thing. What?
I'm remembering one afternoon in Bloom's apartment in the bathroom.
I can't hear you.
I'm remembering one afternoon in Bloom's apartment in the bathroom, standing in front of the mirror, looking into the mirror, and just looking into hell.
I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads. The name of blasphemy. Now blasphemy, you know, we can have all our own pet ideas of what blasphemy means, is something we've heard. But blasphemy simply means that you have denied the one foundation. It's a legal term. Now, every time something grabs your attention, every time something, you see something you want, every time, what, you know, I don't have to go through the whole thing again. Then what happens? It's there by God. God's doing it to see if there is anything that can pull you back into this other being, this beast that has raised himself from the deadly head wounds, and anything that to try to get you to deny the foundation. The rock, the Christ. And again, what we do, and this is what's so shocking to me, since the day that I saw all this back in 72, is that we all know that the system that we have used for our entire life has miserably failed us. We know that whatever all of this structures that we have in us, the only thing it's ever done is brought us to a state of being completely alone. Can everybody understand that for a minute? You may have momentary positions where you're not alone. You do all kinds of crazy things to try to not be alone, but you're fundamentally alone. And it's a desperate aloneness at the core of each man's being. It causes them to do all kinds of crazy stuff. What's the most interesting thing to me that happens because of this feeling of desperate aloneness is you leave. So you can be more alone. Thinking that, well, over there, it'll be different. So anyway, what? Somebody said something.
The versus death was
passed
on all men. I was trying to think of what is that represented by, or how is that described? And to understand that, where is life described? And it seems like life is only described in the garden before the fall. And after the cross.
Amen. After the resurrection.
And
in us.
So life, the main element of life is communion. There's a connection there that...
Amen.
And at the fall, when death passed on man, his response was connected. God said, who told you you were naked?
Amen. It never stops.
So death is I'm speaking my own reality into existence, separate from God.
Didn't we once talk about the word Adam? That, yeah, it's his name, but it's far more than that. It's what we are. We are not human beings. We are Adam. And Adam died. Adam.
Again, Jesus Christ was, if Abraham, Adam was the first Adam, and Jesus was the last Adam, which we just read yesterday morning in 1 Corinthians 15, then who are you? There's only been two men in all of history, really. Adam really died. Not when as Jesus is the last Adam, Adam died when he sinned. And then death passed to all. But he died, and again, remember in the scripture, if you eat of this the fruit of this tree, in dying you shall surely die. And so that being surely dead is a state until the last Adam.
Death passed on all men. Death passed on Adam. Eve was Adam. All the children are Adam.
Yeah, remember, he made a man and woman. He called them Adam. I mean, there's no...
Adam committed suicide.
All right, listen to this. He has seven heads... and 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name, or the names of blasphemy. And what is all that? What are all these heads doing?
Seventy elders.
All of your board of elders, and a few extras. A few, what do you call it in a jury when you have a jury pool, but you have to have more than 12? So you have 70 elders and their alternates.
They're all what?
Alternates.
Alternates.
Advisors. Counselors.
And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now, we can go through all that later if you want to. I don't want to do it right now. Why each of those are a type and why each of them are revealed what it is in Daniel. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. So there's a particular, there's one head in this metaphor that gives life to all of the other crowns and heads that are up there. Now, he was raised from the dead from a deadly head wound. Now, this isn't some Middle Eastern character or somebody from the common market of Europe or something of all these. It's you and I. And this is a description of every man that has ever lived. We don't want to hear this. But you know what's amazing? You know, I've told people for the last 35 years that they were the Antichrist. And almost universally, yeah, it was shock to them for a minute, and then, you know, yeah, that's true. Because you are the temple of God. Will everybody agree to that? Scriptures are clear over and over. You are the temple of the living God. And this, instead of Christ, this Antichrist, has set himself up, this man of sin, this son of perdition. Well, let's go there, 2 Thessalonians.
It's like there's 69 of those voices telling me that I exist, that I'm special, that I'm different, that I'm an individual. And hidden is one of them, which is the real one. There's only one of us.
That's the whole thing about all of the myths that we talked about. Remember, you had to cut off the head of the golden head before the thing died.
There's only one of us.
That's right. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And a falling away is the word apostasy. Apostasy means you have a form of faith, but you deny its power. You have a belief in God, but you deny his ability, his efficacy in a second-by-second basis. And that's an apostasy. And then once that happens, then you make up all kinds of stories and fairy tales to say what God wants from you and how God wants you, whatever it is. God wants you to have 17 wives. That's for Kayla's sake. It's just you just make crap up. And if you have, a strong enough personality and people listen to you, then they'll believe it. It doesn't matter whether it's called Christianity or Mormonism or Buddhism or Catholicism or Islam or Shinto or Tao or Hindu or...
Bruceism?
Huh?
Bruceism.
That's
what keeps you from saying that one head.
All right. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, the day of Christ, shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That's pretty bad. The man of sin and the son of perdition. It's one man of sin. But up here we got this board of elders of all kinds of guys in their alternates. Just like in Ezekiel, we had all these guys in there, except they were all led. They were all, their chains were pulled by Jezaniah, and then Jezaniah's chain was pulled by the rock rabbit. All right, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is God, or is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. You don't show anybody else. You know, if you're some kind of extraordinary person, maybe you can talk one or two into it. All the world is wandering after this same beast. And he's all he's doing is he's sitting in the temple of God and he shows himself that he's God. And he does it by and through you. It's called self-realization. Does anybody believe this? It doesn't matter where you are in the world or what you think or what your religion is or what labels you put on yourself. It doesn't matter. It's endemic. It's the nature of things. So all the what then comes the law. And the law's purpose is to shut up all of those mouths. It doesn't matter what law it is, you can't follow any of them. But you don't, instead of shutting them up, you read half a law. Or you kind of define something in a very limited, you know, if you make your boundary sufficiently limited, you can prove to yourself anything.
There's something I can work with.
And what will happen is you make, slowly but surely, even though you may own everything in the world, your internal boundaries are so small that you can't even move because you've had to create a reality for yourself for which you can prove to yourself, show yourself that you're in control. That's what, you know, Harry went from living in Turtle Creek down to living in a closet. But he was still in control. Control is the issue, the illusion of control. That's why we talk so often about, in the fall, gave you the illusion of a basis of control for your life. Except God in his wisdom, because if it wouldn't have happened, then we couldn't have served the purpose of being in the image of God. He had to make that, it's kind of silly, but we don't even recognize how silly it is. We make these great decisions that we're going to control ourselves. So we're going to control what we eat. We're going to control, but we don't really. If you know, I hate to go through this again, but it's, you know, Gary has just eaten some oatmeal. I want you to control the enzymes that are digesting that oatmeal. Control the bile. Control the blood that's going through your heart. Control the muscles to cause you to stand or sit. Our illusion of control is so minuscule, and that's what's so amazing, because we believe it. And we are taught to control yourself, be in control, do well for yourself. And that's taught to every society. You have all kinds of elaborate stuff that you go through, and especially in tribal society, you have rites of passage and all that kind of stuff. But it says nothing. You can't control anything. But you have to find that out for yourself. Nobody can tell you that. I'd make fun of Kiala about now, but she's new.
Go for it.
This reminds me of tying the stick on the donkey's neck so it goes out over its head, and off the end of the stick you hang a carrot on a string. So the donkey just walks and walks and walks trying to get to the carrot. We're working for the man and we don't even know it. And he gives us just enough this and that to keep us.
And what's so sad is modern religion is teaching us to make ourselves acceptable to the one who has the right of first redemption, our nearer kinsman. You It's just unbelievably sad. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or worshipped. And that's why this, the great commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, is so critical. Because all that love there as a verb just means don't what you give breath to, what you give importance to. You can just follow your day and find out how much you don't give importance to him. And you give importance to the one who you have raised from the dead, from the deadly head wound. You give importance to your feelings, to your physical state, to your wants.
Second, in this context, if you keep your environment small enough, then you can feel like you control it and you feel like you believe and you're all think you're okay. But when you expand your tent pegs and get out and find out, have the courage to see whether or not to be tested in your belief.
Yeah, your belief systems end up just being wasted. Your belief systems end up becoming wasted if you open your eyes anything. Anyway, instead of a study, this was a rant, I guess. Anybody have any other response, any questions?
And going with that formulaic, you know, philosophy of I am controlling this part that is the size of a V-chip that's about as big as a hotel, you know, closet. So if I can find a place, you know, in New York or in L.A., just not.
Or Hawaii. Take it big guy.